Would you please pray with me? O Lord, as we come into your presence to hear your word preached this morning, allow us to block out all the distractions from the past week and allow us to attune our ears to hear your word this morning. Lord, may we truly know that you are with us, that you are here through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that you seek to speak to us. Lord, may we obediently hear your word and be doers of your word. In Christ's name I pray, amen. The New Testament reading is really short. It's one verse. I've used it as a benediction before. But hear the word of the Lord from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning, we finish up our summer-ish after Easter series on what is Reformed worship, and I want to thank you for trekking with me through all the different parts of worship, and hopefully you've learned some new things. I got some really good feedback from last week's sermon on the Lord's Supper about remembrance, communion, and hope, and it's not just that we remember Christ's death, but that Christ is truly spiritually present with us. So that was good to hear that and some other ones. We discussed prayer and how mountaintops throughout Scripture communicate God's presence to us. So hopefully in the last couple of weeks, you've got out to be able to camp, or not camp, well, camp too, but hike. And scaling mountains, really hard, right? But that image of God's presence through the mountain communicates to us that God is present with us. It also is amazing to think about Camp Hoover this week too, because you're trekking up to McCall. It's literally going up. I'm not looking forward to the drive on Wednesday where you're going around that bendy road. I don't want to fall into the creek on the side, but nonetheless, what will be on my mind is going up and ascending to commune with God. The affirmation of faith in our sermon series was used to communicate that we are a gathered body. We commune as a congregation, and we affirm our faith. And I think of the great cloud of witnesses, both in this room and those who have gone before us. Finally, the sacraments of the church communicate that God is truly present with us each and every week. God is here through the ministry of the Spirit, and he looks to bless us. And that's what the benediction is all about. The kind of controlling idea I want to think about this morning for the benediction is the idea that in the call to worship, that we encounter God. He calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the benediction is quite simple. It's really that God scatters us back out into our community to be on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit. So to communicate the significance of the benediction, I want to channel a film that I really love. So the film, and I think I might have used this before, but I can't remember. I'm going to use it. It's called A Hidden Life by Terrence Malick. And I've suggested a few people to watch this film. So what I'm going to do, and it's kind of ironic we're doing this in a worship series. I'm going to ask you if you have a smartphone to pull it out. So pull out your smartphone and go to Google Images. We don't have the screen behind us, so this is why I'm doing it. You can do one of two things. You can go to our Facebook feed, and I posted the picture that I'm going to be talking about, or you just go into Google Images, and you type A Hidden Life, and there should be a picture of a gentleman in a mountain behind him, and he's spreading seed. Is everybody finding it? A Hidden Life. I'll give you a few seconds to pull it out. Or you can go to the Facebook feed if you like. This is a good opportunity to like our Facebook page too. So it's on there. Is everybody kind of finding it? Okay. Love your neighbor as yourself and help your neighbor if they can't find it. Okay. So I normally don't do this, but I want you to look at this picture because I think it does the best job at communicating to us what the benediction is all about. So I just talked about prayers. Yes. So there should be an image where there's a mountain behind and he's spreading seeds. Facebook is easier. Yeah. I didn't mention this in my preaching sermon, but Augustine used to do question and answer for sermons, and he preached for 3 hours. So when people say they want to go traditional, that I don't think they want to go back to Augustine. Okay, so most people have the image up. I apologize if not everybody does, but in that picture, what do you see in the background?
A mountain.
A mountain, yes. That communicates God's presence, and Terrence Malick is a highly visual filmmaker. You can actually turn off his films. I've never done this, but you can turn off the sound and just watch it with your eyes, and it tells the whole story. It's pretty interesting. What else is in that picture that you see there in the background? The church, which I take to communicate that Franz Jägerstätter is part of the people of God. I should also mention that the film is about this gentleman who died for his faith in World War II in Austria. He refused to bow to Hitler and was killed for his faith. The thing that I love about this picture is that he's spreading seed. So I talked about gathering and scattering a little bit ago. And as I see it, God's mission is that he propels him out to spread the seed and scatter it far and wide. So he's really blessing him and sending him out on mission. I just love that, all while portraying that God's presence is with him. If you want to watch one Christian film in the next couple of months, I'd really suggest watching this film. It's fantastic. And maybe we could watch it as a congregation in the future as well. But I think that that picture does a fantastic job at saying what the benediction and blessing of God is. We're gathered to worship God and scattered back out into our community. So what I'd like to do now, just kind of keep that image before you, gathering and scattering, what we're going to do is work through the text. So the first text that was read this morning is Numbers chapter 6. And I pray through this in the pastoral prayer. There's kind of three blessings that are given to the people of God. And I like Thomas Cranmer's prayer of confession. That's why I probably mix it in every 2 months or so. Maybe we do it every week if people would, we get more variety, but it's a perfect prayer of confession. But I also use this as my benediction about every other week, and most Presbyterian ministers do as well. So there's three promises of God. The first one is, the Lord bless you and keep you. And I think what God is communicating to us in that statement is earthly security. So in other words, God, in his benediction and blessing to us each and every week, says that I will providentially watch over and care for you. So that's the first part. The second part is that the text says, the Lord will make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The idea is that God will care for you with regards to prosperity. He'll put a roof over your head. He'll give you food to eat, although he only promises daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. But it's widely construed. So I'm not preaching prosperity this morning. Name it and claim it. You're going to get rich because you're a Christian. But at the same time, God's benediction and blessing over you is that, hey, you're mine. I've gathered you in my name. I'm going to provide for you. Finally, we get this idea that those who are the Lord's will be given peace. Now, shalom in the Old Testament is more of a wholeness idea. Because of our sin nature and sinning against God, there's a fracturing that goes on. We're going to go back to Romans in 2 weeks. The idea is that our relationship with God's been fractured between creator and creature, but the peace that's given to us, what we learned in Romans, is what? The cross of Christ. The enmity between God and man is done away with. So when I see peace, I see a wholeness. The Lord will further and further bless us and bring us into completeness with him. Union with Christ, what we talked about last week. Now, I had the New Testament text read it this morning because you can hear echoes through Paul from Numbers chapter 6. So I'm going to read it again and attune your ears to hear Numbers chapter 6 being channeled. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Do you hear Numbers chapter 6 in that verse? with a repetition of the word peace. Now, how is peace achieved? And I think Paul is actually talking about Christ. So what Paul is doing, I think, in that verse is channeling Numbers chapter 6 and saying that that peace that Moses wrote about in chapter 6 of Numbers is achieved through the cross of Christ. So peace can be kind of a generic sense. I could remember hearing about peace in church growing up as a kid, and it was kind of just this goodwill to all men type of thing. I'm praying for peace, which you don't really hear a lot anymore. It's kind of fallen out post-1990s. But the peace that was achieved in the New Testament is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That enmity between God and man is done away with. So what I find really fascinating is this traditional Aaronic blessing that was given to the people of God by the high priest is now reconfigured upon Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus in the New Testament? The high priest. We get that in Hebrews. So it's quite a significant step to take that benediction and reconfigure it around Christ. So as we think about the benediction this morning, and the thing about the benediction is it's kind of short, and my sermon's a little bit shorter than normal, so it is summer. But throughout our series, I've tried to hammer home on the idea that worship matters. So something happens when the gathered body of Christ worships the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday. The statement, the church is not a building, is true, but there's something, to a certain extent, but something special happens when the gathered body comes together. We are gathered in the name of the Lord and scattered back out into our community. Now, evangelical Christians, if we want to take that broadly construed, tend to de-emphasize worship, in my opinion. And you can kind of see that in attendance patterns over the last two decades. What really is preached often is go out into your community and make a difference. And I was talking about this with some pastors, Nathan and Dave, who were at my installation a couple weeks ago. We had lunch in Caldwell the other day, and I was saying I was going to try to prioritize worship, then mission. And Nathan responded, well, you can do both at the same time. You can worship the Lord and have your good works on Sunday as well. And I agreed. But I want to emphasize that out of our worship, we are sent back into the community to make a difference by the work of the Holy Spirit. So the benediction is an excellent reminder that God is truly with us. He gathers us and he scatters us back out into our community. Just like Numbers chapter 6, God providentially cares for us and he takes care of his church. He promises us a whole life, which makes me think about John chapter 10 and the abundant life. I came that they might have life abundantly. And finally, God scatters us back out into our community, which makes me think of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is actually a benediction, which is I didn't realize until a couple years ago. But Jesus gathers his disciples, and he gathers them, and then he scatters them back out into their community to preach the good news of the gospel. So that the application this morning is just gathered and scattered, and I just want to go through it rather quickly. God's blessing and benediction. The early Christian tradition had certain elements that they succeeded at, and my church history said that kind of manifests itself in denominations. His name was John Hanna. He's a pretty funny guy. He used to go sing in nursing homes, and he could not sing at all. And he said the great thing was is everybody thanked him for singing, and he was never asked to sing in front of the congregation, but he could go to nursing homes and sing, which he loved to do. So he always said, I'm looking forward to the earth to come because I will have a restored voice. So I always remember Professor John Hanna. But he had the joke, and he brought up this map of all the denominations. He said, Baptists get you saved. They get you into the door of the church. They're really, really good at that. Episcopalians tend to, they have all the money, he said, so they build institutions and have endowments. And we have two Episcopalian priests with us today, so they got the joke. Methodists, which we went to a Methodist church when I was a child and I married a Methodist. They're really great at good works and emphasizing community involvement. That was like a big deal when I was a kid. I can remember the bishop coming to our church, and he had a really good slogan called Nothing But Nets, and we were raising money to get nets into Africa so people didn't get malaria. He was really good at like social awareness, and so we raised a bunch of money. He must have did a good job, because if I can remember it, when I was 8 years old, it stuck with me. So that's kind of what stuck with me in the Methodist tradition. Now, in the Presbyterian and Reformed tradition, my professor argued, and I would concur, that we tend to excel at discipleship. When you are part of a Presbyterian church, you learn your Bible really, really well. And my mom has testified to that over the years. But there's another thing that I've learned over the years that I would put a strong emphasis on, is that we have a very God-centered approach to worship, which can sometimes come across as boring. And I don't mean that in a condescending way, but we have a lot of scripture reading, we have a lot of prayers, and everything is done to emphasize God's word and the fact that God is the primary actor in worship. And I think that that's a real big hallmark of our tradition. Now, I love that because it communicates to us that public worship each and every Sunday really matters. And it matters because God is truly present with us. When folks often say when they miss church, I missed out on something, I think they missed out on that specialness of God's presence when the gathered body comes and when God scatters the community back out on mission. This presence of God that we experience in Sunday worship is also a foretaste of our heavenly worship with Christ forever and ever. And that happens whenever we breathe our last breath on this earth, or the Lord comes back to judge the living and the dead. So my hope is, throughout this series, I've really kind of communicated that to you, that God truly is present with his people, worship matters, and in some sense, to channel what the pastor's wife, Sarah, said, the Reformed tradition is really hardcore on this God-centeredness, and I think that's a great thing, and I want us to continue here at Christ Pres. So, God's gathering. Now, the scattering is the interesting part, and I want to argue this morning that you are God's missionaries, both as individuals and as the church. Missionaries are not, we have these wonderful missionaries that we support throughout, all over the world, quite literally, in the UK, in Africa, I almost said the country, I'm not supposed to say that on camera, many other places in Latin America, and there's a temptation for us to think, we support them financially, they come and talk to us, and missionaries are what they do, it's kind of a, you go off and you do this thing. But what I'd like to argue this morning is that each of us is a missionary. And as we're gathered to worship the Lord in spirit in truth on Sundays, we're scattered back out into our communities to bear witness to the power of the gospel, both through word and deed, loving our neighbor as ourself. Now, the text that makes me think about this and is a benediction is the Great Commission. It's a benediction that's given at the end of Matthew's gospel. And what's at the end of that benediction? The power or the promise of God's presence. God's presence is with us no matter where we go. People can feel it in our communities, and we walk in obedience and share the good news of the gospel. Now, since we're kind of in a season of transition with our building and our music and everything, the opportunities to serve can tend to be not as big at a church that's not going through transition. But one challenge I would put forth this morning is, and one of the most underrated ways to get the good news of the gospel out, is just simply to invite people to church. I'm a big advocate of this. And if you think somebody might not take you up on your invite, don't make the decision for them. I always preach that, even though sometimes I don't follow it. Don't make the decision for them. Just invite them. Coming to worship is really underrated for people to experience the Lord. And why? It doesn't really matter if they're a believer or not. It's because they will experience the presence of the Lord. And Paul says in his letters, for some, it's going to be an aroma of life. So they'll come to church, they'll love it, they'll just feel the power of presence of the Lord. And others, it'll be an aroma of death. And they just They might not like it, and they might not ever come back. But we leave the conversion aspect to the Lord. We just are obedient and invite people to church. Churches grow, if you talk about church growth, often through word of mouth, and you want a certain number of the congregation to have a virtue, so to speak, of inviting people to church. So I'd throw that out there. People that don't know the Lord, and you know, I've been thinking about this praying a lot lately. There's a lot of sheep out there post-COVID that went to church before COVID and just got out of the routine of it, scattered throughout our valley. Invite them to church, or push them to go back to church. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Christ Pres, though I would really like that. But at the same time, it could be anybody. They miss out on the uniqueness and the specialness of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I'd also say, as a session, we're still working and discerning our unique place in the valley, and building is kind of tied to it. So Paul gave encouraging news this morning, and the building, the Lord's opening up doors. But as a session, we've been working for the last couple of months discerning what does the Lord want us to do in a special and unique way in the Treasure Valley. We've thrown out a lot of ideas, maybe even investing even more in the Boise Rescue Mission, not so much with money, but more volunteers. We've thrown out an idea of English as a second language ministry, or many other things. We haven't made a decision yet because the Lord is still leading. But I would ask you as the congregation to pray for that. And come fall, hopefully, we will have that idea that the Lord has given to us, and ask you to serve in that capacity. Because again, we are gathered and scattered by the Lord. So thank you. I wanted to thank you as your pastor for working through this sermon series on worship. It's such a foundational topic, and it's quite democratic because everybody shows up to worship and we engage in these certain practices, and we can gloss over them and take them for granted. So hopefully you've learned something new and it's enhanced your experience in worship. Next week, Brett's going to preach on what it means to be a ruling elder. So the Book of Order, again, has this little excerpt that says ruling elders are expected from time to time to preach. And so Brett read that, and he's doing it. So I'm really excited, and I think he's going to do a great job. So Brett will preach next week, and then we're going to pick back up in Romans chapter 9 in 2 weeks from today. And I was praying this morning and prepping, and I was thinking about this preaching book that I read once where it said whenever you preach a sermon series, the preacher should gravitate back towards the text. And I've gotten to the point in the last 3 weeks where I really just miss preaching through a book of the Bible. So worship was great, but I'm really looking forward to preaching through Romans again, and we'll pick back up in 9 and talk about the doctrine of election, which is kind of a daunting task, so please pray for me. So let us be a congregation here at Christ Pres that realizes the tremendous gift that we have with God's presence. God is truly with us. Allow us to realize, please, and ask the Lord that we are gathered in his name and scattered back out into his community in witness. And I would ask that you would pray for opportunities to share the good news of the gospel in both word and in deed. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you invite us to worship you. What a great gift and honor and treasure that is. Lord, help us as a congregation to realize that each and every week, to come to worship because worship truly matters. But help us to also realize, Lord, that we are gathered each and every Sunday, but that we are scattered on mission through the empowerment of your Spirit to bear witness to you as well. Lord, if we need a nudge in the coming weeks, months, and years to be courageous, I pray that we are. May we just always realize that you care for us and that you are with us no matter where we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.